Let's read together Psalm 135. In this psalm of praise, the Lord is praised for his sovereignty over everything, including his sovereign election of Israel and his sovereign gift of the land to Israel. Psalm 135, beginning with verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let's begin our study of Psalm 135 with some background notes. You will notice that Psalm 135 begins with praise the Lord and ends with praise the Lord. Thus, it is a fitting psalm to be included in the great Hallel. Hallel, remember, is the Hebrew word for praise. Hallelujah is praise the Lord in Hebrew. We mentioned in one of our talks that Psalms 120 through 136 are sometimes called the Great Hallel, that is, the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through 134, plus Psalms 135 and 136, form this larger group of Psalms known as the Great Hallel. In Psalm 135, this great psalm of praise, the Lord is praised for his divine sovereignty. Divine sovereignty means that God is in control of everything, and he directs all things as he pleases. Look at verses 5 and 6. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. Does this include everything in the universe? Of course. End of verse 6. In heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. You mean God controls even the mists and every bolt of lightning and every breeze? Yes. Verse 7. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. By the way, if you're into sailing or windsurfing or kite sailing, memorize the last part of verse 7. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. So if there's no wind, assume that the Lord has something better for you to do that day. Well, it's very clear from this psalm that God is sovereign over this material universe that he has created, and he is sovereign over the natural laws that he designed to govern the universe. But what about people and nations? Is God sovereign over these as well? Answer, yes, of course he is. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for this psalm. So doctrinal point number one, the sovereign Lord chose the descendants of Jacob as his special people. The sovereign Lord chose the descendants of Jacob as his special people. Verse 4, once again, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Notice that God's sovereign choice of a special people was not all the descendants of Abraham, but specifically Abraham's descendants through Jacob, not through Ishmael and not through Esau, but through Jacob. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, we see that this sovereign choice of the Jewish people is not just in reference to the Middle East, but in reference to the whole world. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a holy or set-apart people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. In verses 8 through 14 of Psalm 135, we see that God protected his special people when they were forged into a nation in Egypt, and when he redeemed them out from their bondage in Egypt and brought them into the promised land. Let's read these verses once again, verses 8 through 14. He destroyed or struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. Now in verses 15 through 18, we see why the Jewish people were unique among all the peoples of the ancient world. Because their God was the one true God. All other nations worshipped idols, the work of man's hands. Let's read these verses once again, verses 15 through 18. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Verses 15 through 18. The descendants of Jacob are still God's special people. According to Romans chapter 11, at the present time, they are only temporarily set aside because of unbelief. But in the future, and maybe the very near future, they will be restored to the Lord. Then verses 19 through 21 of Psalm 135 will become a reality. Let's read these verses once again. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. All of Israel will bless the Lord, whose throne will literally be in Jerusalem. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The sovereign Lord chose the descendants of Jacob as his special people. Doctrinal point number two, the sovereign Lord gave the land of Canaan to his special people. The sovereign Lord gave the land of Canaan to his special people. Verses 10 through 12. Psalm 135, verses 10 through 12, once again. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Question, what is the greatest claim you could make for owning land? Is it that you conquered it? Is it that you occupied it? Is it that you bought it? The highest claim, of course, is that it was given to you by God himself. That's exactly the point of Psalm 135. The sovereign Lord gave the land of Canaan to his special people. Now notice what's included in the land of Canaan. Not only the land of the Canaanite kings on the west side of the Jordan River, but the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. That's where Jordan is today. Only during the days of King Solomon did Israel occupy or control all the land that was given to them under the Abrahamic covenant. But that gift of land has never been revoked or rescinded, nor has any of it ever been given by God to anyone else. Israel has more right to that land than we do to our homes which occupy Native American land. The sovereign Lord gave the land of Canaan to his special people. Practical application from Psalm 135. Don't become like an idol. Don't become like an idol. Is it possible to become like an idol? Yes, it is, according to Psalm 135. Let's read verses 15 through 18 once again. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. What does verse 18 mean when it says, those who make them are like them? So is everyone who trusts in them. It means that those who practice idolatry become spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually dumb, and spiritually dead. Now, we know that is true of the unbeliever. But what about the believer? Listen to what the Apostle John said to believers in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. 1 John 5:21. An idol is anything that begins to take away from God being number one in your life. It could be a nice person, or a good hobby, or even a physical fitness program. Little by little, if you don't control your priorities, you will become more and more spiritually deaf and dumb and blind. On the other hand, and in great contrast, if you turn away from idols and turn to the Lord and His Word, you will become slowly but surely spiritually enlightened and spiritually alert and spiritually wise in the ways of God. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. From 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. So if you allow idols in your life, you will become more like them, spiritually deaf, dumb, and blind. But if you put the Lord and His work and His word first in your life, you will become more like Christ. That's also the promise of Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Let's read those familiar verses. And we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. From Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. What a great truth this is. Everything that happens to us as believers is not good, but God can work everything together for good. What is that good? We see in verse 29 that it is that we would be conformed more and more to the image of God's Son, that is, more and more like Christ. What a great truth this is. And what a great contrast to those who sadly trust in idols and become like them, spiritually deaf, spiritually dumb, and spiritually blind. Don't become like an idol.